eyes closed, head back in ecstasy. She's magnificent. She opens her eyes. My Anna. My lips form the words.
Yes, always,
she cries. And her words call to my soul and tip me over the edge. I close my eyes and surrender to her once more. She cries out as she finds her own release, pulling me to mine as she collapses on top of me.
Oh, baby,
I grunt, and I'm spent. Her head lolls on my chest, but I don't care. She's subdued the darkness. I caress her hair, and with tired fingers I stroke her back as we both catch our breath. You are so beautiful, I murmur, and it's only when Anna lifts her head that I realize I've said the words out loud. She eyes me with skepticism. When will she learn to take a compliment? I sit up quickly, catching Anna off guard, but I hold her in place, and we're face to face again. You are beautiful. I emphasize each word.
And you're amazingly sweet sometimes.
She leans forward and gives me a chaste kiss. I lift her up and she winces as I ease out of her. I kiss her gently. You have no idea how attractive you are, do you? She looks nonplussed. All those boys pursuing you, that isn't enough of a clue.
Boys? What boys?
You want the list? The photographer, he's crazy about you. That boy in the hardware store, your roommate's older brother, your boss, that untrustworthy fucker.
Oh, Christian, that's just not true.
Trust me, they want you. They want what's mine. I tighten my hold on her and she rests her forearms on my shoulders, her hands in my hair, and she studies me with amused tolerance. Mine, I assert.
Yes, yours.
She gives me an indulgent smile.
The line is still intact,
she continues, and draws her finger over the lipstick mark on my shoulder. I stiffen, alarmed.
I want to go exploring,
she whispers. The apartment?
No,
she shakes her head.
I was thinking of the treasure map that we've drawn on you.
What? She rubs her nose against mine, distracting me. And what would that entail exactly, Miss Steele? She raises her hand and tickles my stubble with her fingertips.
I just want to touch you everywhere I'm allowed.
Her index finger brushes my lips and I capture it between my teeth.
Ow!
She yelps when I bite down, and I grin as I growl. So she wants to touch me. I've given her my boundaries. Try it her way, Gray. Okay, I acquiesce, but I hear the uncertainty in my voice. Wait. I lift her and remove the condom and drop it beside the bed. I hate those things. I have a good mind to call Dr. Green around to give you a shot.
You think the top OBGYN in Seattle is going to come running?
I can be very persuasive. I smooth her hair behind her ear. She has the most beautiful, small, impish ears. Franco's done a great job on your hair. I like these layers.
Stop changing the subject,
she warns. I lift her so she's astride me once more. Watching her carefully, I recline onto the pillows while she rests her back against my upright knees. Touch away, I murmur. Her eyes never leave mine, and she places her hand on my belly beneath the lipstick line. I tense as her finger explores the valleys between my abdominal muscles. I flinch, and she lifts her finger.
I don't have to,
she says. No, it's fine. Just take some readjustment on my part. No one's touched me for a long time.
Mrs. Robinson?
Shit. Why did I allude to her? Warily, I nod. I don't want to talk about her. It will sour your good mood.
I can handle it.
No, you can't, Anna. You see red whenever I mention her. My past is my past. It's a fact. I can't change it. I'm lucky that you don't have one because it would drive me crazy if you did.
Drive you crazy? More than you are already?
Crazy for you, I declare. She grins, a large, genuine grin.
Shall I call Dr. Flynn?
I don't think that will be necessary. She wriggles on top of me and I drop my legs. With her eyes on mine, she places her fingers on my belly. I tense.
I like touching you, she says,
and her hand slips down to my navel, teasing the hair there. Her fingers quest lower.
Whoa.
My cock twitches in approval.
Again,
she says with a carnal smile.
Oh, Anastasia, you insatiable woman.
Oh, yes, Miss Steele. Again. I sit up and clasp her head in my hands and kiss her, long and hard. You're not too sore, I whisper against her lips.
No.
I love your stamina, Anna. She dozes beside me, replete, I hope. After all of today's arguments and recriminations, I'm now feeling more at peace. Perhaps I can do this vanilla thing. I look down at Anna. Her lips are parted and her lashes leave little shadows across her pale cheek. She looks serene and beautiful, and I could watch her sleep forever. Yet she can be really fucking difficult. Who knew? And the irony is, I think I like it. She makes me question myself. She makes me question everything. She makes me feel alive. Back in the living room, I gather my papers from the sofa and head into my study. I've left Anastasia asleep. She must be exhausted after last night, and we have a long night ahead at the ball. At my desk, I fire up my computer. One of Andrea's many virtues is that she keeps my contacts up to date and synced across all my devices. I look up Dr. Green, and sure enough, I have her email address. I'm so over condoms. I'd like her to see Anna as soon as possible. I send her an email, but I don't imagine I'll hear from her until Monday. After all, it's the weekend. I send a couple of emails to Roz and make some notes on the reports I read earlier. Opening a drawer to put away my pen, I spy the red box with the earrings I bought Anna for the gala that we never attended. She left me. Taking out the box, I examine the earrings once more. They are perfect for her. Elegant, simple, stunning. I wonder if she'd accept them today. After the fight about the Audi and the $24,000, it seems unlikely. But I'd like to give them to her. I put the box in my pocket and check my watch. It's time to wake Anna, as I'm sure she'll need a while to get ready for tonight. She's curled up in the middle of the bed, looking small and lonely. She's in the sub's room. I wonder why she's up here. She's not my submissive. She should be asleep in my bed, downstairs. Hey, sleepyhead. I kiss her temple. She grumbles, and her eyelids flicker open. Time to get up, I whisper, and kiss her quickly on the lips.
Mr. Gray.
Her fingers caress my stubble.
I've missed you.
You've been asleep. How can she have missed me?
I missed you in my dreams.
Her simple, sleepy statement floors me. She is so unpredictable and bewitching. I grin as an unexpected warmth spreads through my body. It's becoming familiar, but I don't want to put a name to the feeling. It's too new, too scary. Up, I order, and I leave her to get ready before I'm tempted to join her. After a quick shower, I shave. Usually I try to avoid eye contact with the asshole in the mirror, but today he looks happier, though somewhat ridiculous, with a smeared red lipstick line around his neck. My thoughts turn to the night ahead. I usually loathe these events and find them intensely dull, but this time I'll have a date, another first with Anna. I hope having her on my arm will ward off the flocks of Mia's friends who try desperately to get themselves noticed. They have never learned that I'm just not interested. I wonder how Anna will find it. Perhaps she'll think it's dull, too. I hope not. Maybe I should liven up the evening. As I finish shaving, an idea comes to mind. A few minutes later, wearing my dress pants and shirt, I head upstairs, pausing outside my playroom. Is this a good idea? Anna can always say no. I unlock the door and step inside. I've not been in my playroom since she left me. It's quiet, and ambient light glows on the red walls, giving the place an illusion of warmth. But today, this room is not my sanctuary. It hasn't been since she left me alone and in darkness. It holds the memory of her tear-stained face, her anger, and her bitter words. I close my eyes. You need to sort your shit out, Gray. I'm trying, Anna. I'm trying. You are one fucked up son of a bitch. Fuck. If she only knew, she'd leave again. I discard the unpalatable thought and from the chest fetch what I need. Will she go for this?
I like your kinky fuckery.
Her hushed words from the night of our reconciliation give me some consolation. With Anna's confession in mind, I turn to leave. For the first time ever, I don't want to linger in here. As I lock the door, I wonder when or if Anna and I will revisit this room. I know I'm not ready. How Anna will feel about the, what does she call it, red room of pain, we'll have to see. The thought that I may never use it again depresses me. Brooding on this, I walk to her room. Perhaps I should get rid of the canes and belts. Maybe that would help. I open the submissive's room door and stop. A startled Anna whirls around to face me. She's dressed in a black corset, tiny lace panties, and thigh highs. All thought is erased from my mind. My mouth dries as I stare. She's a walking wet dream. She's Aphrodite. Thank you, Caroline Acton.
Can I help you, Mr. Gray? I assume there is some purpose to your visit other than to gawk mindlessly at me.
There's a haughty edge to her voice. I am rather enjoying my mindless gawk, thank you, Miss Steele. I step into the room. Remind me to send a personal note of thanks to Caroline Acton. Anna gestures with her hands. She's wondering what I'm talking about. The personal shopper at Neiman's, I clarify.
Oh.
I'm quite distracted.
I can see that. What do you want, Christian?
She says, sounding impatient, but I think she's teasing me. I pull the Kegel balls out of my pocket for her to see, and her expression changes from playful to alarmed. She thinks I want to spank her. I do, but it's not what you think, I reassure her.
Enlighten me.
I thought you could wear these tonight. She blinks several times.
To this event?
I nod.
Will you spank me later?
No. Her face falls and I can't help but laugh. You want me to? I watch her swallow, indecision plain on her face. Well, rest assured I am not going to touch you like that. Not even if you beg me. I pause and let that information sink in before I continue. Do you want to play this game? I hold them up. You can always take them out if it's too much. Her eyes darken, and a small wicked smile teases her lips.
Okay,
she says. And once again, I'm reminded that Anastasia Steele is not a woman to back away from a challenge. I spy the Louboutins on the floor. Good girl. Come here, and I'll put them in once you've put your shoes on. Anna in fine lingerie and Louboutins. All my dreams are coming true. I hold out my hand to help her into her shoes. She steps into them and turns from elfin and gamine to tall and willowy. She's gorgeous. Man, what they do for her legs. I lead her to the bedside and fetch the bedroom chair and place it in front of her. When I nod, you bend down and hold onto the chair. Understand?
Yes.
Good. Now open your mouth. She does, and I slide my index finger between her lips. Suck, I order. She clasps my hand, and with a lustful glance at me, she does exactly as I ask. Christ. Her look is scorching, wanton, unwavering, and her tongue teases and pulls at my finger. I might as well have my cock in her mouth. I'm hard, instantly. Oh, baby. I've known very few women who have had this instant effect on me, but none as instant as Anna. And given her naivete, it surprises me, but she's had this hold on me since I met her. Get to the matter in hand, Gray. To lubricate the balls, I slip them into my mouth while she continues to pleasure my finger. When I try to withdraw it, her teeth clamp down and she gives me a winsome smile. No, you don't, I warn, shaking my head, and she loosens her grip, releasing me. I nod, indicating she should bend over the chair, and she obliges. Kneeling behind her, I move her panties to one side and slide my filleted finger inside her and circle slowly, feeling the tight, wet walls of her vagina. She moans, and I want to tell her to be quiet and to stay still, but that's not the relationship we have anymore. We're doing things her way. I withdraw my finger, then gently ease each ball inside her, carefully pushing them as deep as they can go. As I slip her panties back in place, I kiss her delectable derriere. I sit back on my heels and run my hands up her legs and kiss each thigh where her stockings stop. You have fine, fine legs, Miss Steele. I stand and grasp her hips, pulling her against my arousal. Maybe I'll have you this way when we get home, Anastasia. You can stand now. She does, her breath quickening once she's upright, and she shimmies in front of me, her ass brushing my erection. I kiss her shoulder and extend my arm around her, palm up, holding out the Cartier box. I bought these for you to wear to last Saturday's gala, but you left me, so I never had the opportunity to give them to you. I take a deep breath. This is my second chance. Will she accept them? It seems symbolic somehow. If she's serious about us, she'll accept them. I hold my breath. She reaches for the box and opens it and stares at the earrings for the longest time. Please take them, Anna.
They're lovely,
she whispers.
Thank you.
She can play nice. I grin as I relax, knowing I won't have to fight to get her to keep them. I kiss her shoulder and spot the silver satin dress on the bed. I ask her if that's what she's chosen to wear.
Yes. Is that okay?
Of course. I'll let you get ready. I've lost count of the number of these events I've attended, but for the first time, I'm excited. I get to show Anna off to my family and all of their well-heeled friends. I finish tying my bow tie with ease and grab my jacket. Slipping it on, I take one last look in the mirror. The asshole looks happy, but he needs to straighten his tie.
Keep still,
Elena snaps.
Yes, ma'am.
I stand before her, getting ready for prom. I've told my parents I'm not going and that I'm seeing a friend. It will be our own personal prom, just Elena and I. She moves, and I hear the rustle of expensive silk and inhale the provocative scent of her perfume.
Open your eyes.
I do as I'm instructed. She's poised behind me, and we're facing a mirror. I look at her, not at the idiot boy standing in front of her. She takes the ends of my bow tie.
And this is how you do this.
Slowly, she moves her fingers. Her nails are bright scarlet. I watch. Fascinated. She pulls the ends and I'm wearing a most respectable bow tie.
Now let's see if you can do it. And if you do, I'll reward you.
She smiles her secret, I so own you smile. And I know it will be good. I'm rehashing the night's arrangements with the security team when I hear her footfalls behind me. All four men are suddenly distracted. Taylor smiles. When I turn around, Anna is standing at the bottom of the stairs. A vision. Wow. She's stunning in her silver gown and reminiscent of a silent movie siren. I saunter over to her, feeling a disproportionate sense of pride, and kiss her hair. Anastasia, you look breathtaking. I'm delighted that she's wearing the earrings. She flushes. A glass of champagne before we go, I offer.
Please.
I nod to Taylor, who leads his three colleagues out to the foyer, and with my arm around my date, we head into the living room. From the fridge, I take a bottle of Cristal Rosé and open it.
Security team?
Anna asks, as I pour the bubbling liquid into champagne flutes. Close protection. They're under Taylor's control. He's trained in that, too. I hand her a glass.
He's very versatile.
Yes, he is. You look lovely, Anastasia. Cheers. I raise my glass to meet hers. She takes a sip and closes her eyes, savoring the wine. How are you feeling? I ask, noting the pink flush on her cheeks, the same blush of the champagne, and I wonder how long she'll tolerate the balls.
Fine, thank you.
She gives me a coy smile. Tonight will be entertaining. Here, you're going to need this. I give her the velvet bag that contains her mask. Open it. Anna does and pulls out the delicate silver masquerade mask and runs her fingers through the plumes. It's a masked ball.
I see.
She examines the mask in wonder. This will show off your beautiful eyes, Anastasia.
Are you wearing one?
Of course. They're very liberating, in a way. She grins. I have one more surprise for her. Come, I want to show you something. I hold out my hand and lead her back out to the corridor and into my library. I can't believe I haven't shown her this room.
You have a library,
she exclaims. Yes, the ball's room, as Elliot calls it. The apartment is quite spacious. I realized today when you mentioned exploring that I've never given you a tour. We don't have time now, but I thought I'd show you this room and maybe challenge you to a game of billiards in the not-too-distant future. Her eyes are bright with wonder as she takes in the collection of books and the billiard table.
Bring it on,
she says with a self-satisfied grin.
What?
She's hiding something. Can she play?
Nothing,
she says quickly, and I know that's probably the answer. She really is a hopeless liar. Well, maybe Dr. Flynn can uncover your secrets. You'll meet him this evening.
The expensive charlatan?
The very same. He's dying to meet you. Shall we go? She nods, and excitement shines in her eyes. We travel in companionable silence in the back of the car. I skim my thumb across her knuckles, sensing her growing anticipation. She crosses and uncrosses her legs, and I know the balls are taking their toll.
Where did you get the lipstick?
She asks out of the blue. I point to Taylor and mouth his name. She laughs, then stops abruptly. And I know it's the Kegel balls. Relax, I whisper. If it's too much. I kiss each of her knuckles and suck the tip of her little finger, rolling my tongue around it, as she did with my finger earlier. Anna closes her eyes, tips her head back, and inhales. Her smoldering eyes meet mine when she opens them again. She rewards me with a wicked grin, and I respond in kind.
So, what can we expect at this event?
She asks. Oh, the usual stuff.
Not usual for me.
Of course. When would she have been to an event like this? I kiss her knuckles once more as I explain. Lots of people flashing their cash. Auction, raffle, dinner, dancing. My mother knows how to throw a party. The Audi joins the line of cars arriving at my parents' house. Anna strains to have a look. I glance out of the back window to see Reynolds from the security detail following us in my other Audi Q7. Masks on. I retrieve mine from the black silk bag beside me. When we pull up into the driveway, we are both in disguise. Anna looks spectacular. She's dazzling, and I want to show her off to the world. Taylor comes to a stop and one of the valets opens my door. Ready? I ask Anna.
As I'll ever be.
You look beautiful, Anastasia. I kiss her hand and climb out of the car. I put my arm around my date and we walk alongside the house on a green carpet my mother has rented for the occasion. I glance once over my shoulder and observe our four security personnel walking behind us, looking everywhere. It's reassuring. Mr. Gray! A photographer calls out to me, and I pull Anna close and we pose.
Two photographers?
Anna observes, curious. One is from the Seattle Times, the other is for a souvenir. We'll be able to buy a copy later. We pass a line of servers holding flutes of champagne, and I hand a glass to Anna. My parents have gone all out, like they do every year. Pavilion, pergolas, lanterns, checkered dance floor, ice swans, and a string quartet. I watch Anna as she takes in the surroundings with awe. It's gratifying to see my parents' generosity through her eyes. It's not often that I get the opportunity to stand back and appreciate how lucky I am to be part of their world.
How many people are coming?
She asks, sizing up the elaborate tent next to the shoreline. I think about 300. You'll have to ask my mother.
Christian!
I hear the shrill, not so dulcet tones of my sister. Then she's throwing her arms around my neck in a melodramatic display of affection. She's a vision in pink. Mia. I return her enthusiastic hug. She spies Anna, and I'm forgotten.
Anna, oh, darling, you look gorgeous. You must come and meet my friends. None of them can believe that Christian finally has a girlfriend.
She hugs Anna and takes her hand. Anna gives me a quick, apprehensive look before Mia drags her to a group of women who coo over her, all except one. Shit. I recognize Lily, Mia's friend since kindergarten. Spoiled, wealthy, gorgeous, but spiteful. She embodies all the worst attributes of privilege and entitlement. And there was a time when she thought she was entitled to me. I shudder. I watch Anna as she's gracious with Mia's friends, but she steps back suddenly looking uncomfortable. I think Lily is being an asshole. This will never do. I walk over and put my arm around Anna's waist. Ladies, if I could claim my date back, please.
Lovely to meet you,
Anna says to the throng as I pull her away.
Thank you,
she mouths. I saw that Lily was with Mia. She is one nasty piece of work.
She likes you,
Anna observes. Well, the feeling is not mutual. Come, let me introduce you to some people. Anna is impressive, the perfect date, gracious, elegant, and sweet. She listens attentively to anecdotes. She asks intelligent questions, and I love the way she defers to me. Yes, I especially love that. It's novel and unexpected, but then she's always unexpected. What's more, she's oblivious to the many, many admiring glances she receives from both men and women, and she stays close to my side. I attribute her rosy glow to the champagne, and maybe the Kegel balls, and if the latter are bothering her, she hides it well. The master of ceremonies announces that dinner is served, and we follow the green carpet across the lawn to the pavilion. Anna is looking toward the boathouse. Boathouse? I ask.
Maybe we can go there later.
Only if I can carry you over my shoulder. She laughs, then stops abruptly. I grin. How are you feeling?
Good,
she says with a superior air, and my grin broadens. Game on, Miss Steele. Behind us, Taylor and his men follow at a discreet distance and, once in the tent pavilion, position themselves so they have a good view of the crowd. My mother and Mia are already at our table with a friend of Mia's. Grace welcomes Anna warmly.
Anna, how delightful to see you again, and looking so beautiful, too.
Mother. I greet Grace and kiss her on both cheeks.
Oh, Christian, so formal,
she chides. My maternal grandparents join us, and after the obligatory hugs, I introduce them both to Anna.
Oh, he's finally found someone. How wonderful, and so pretty. Well, I do hope you make an honest man of him.
My grandmother enthuses. Inappropriate, Grandma. Fuck. I stare at my mother. Help, Mom, stop her.
Mother, don't embarrass Anna,
Grace admonishes her mom. Ignore the silly old coot, my dear. She thinks because she's so old, she has a God-given right to say whatever nonsense pops into that woolly head of hers. My grandfather gives me a wink. Theodore Trevelyan is my hero. We have a special bond. This man has patiently taught me how to plant, cultivate, and graft apple trees, and in doing so has won my eternal affection. Quiet, strong, kind, patient with me. Always. Here, kiddo.
Grandpa Trevyan says.
You don't talk much, do you?
I shake my head. No, I don't talk at all.
That's no problem. Folks around here talk too much anyway. Do you want to help me in the orchard?
I nod. I like Grandpa Trevyan. He has kind eyes and a loud laugh. He holds out his hand, but I tuck my hands under my arms.
As you like, Christian. Let's go make some green apple trees make red apples.
I like red apples. The orchard is big. There are trees and trees and trees. But they are small trees, not big, and they have no leaves and no apples because of winter. I have big boots on and a hat. I like my hat. I'm warm. Grandpa Trevyan looks at a tree.
See this tree, Christian? It makes bitter green apples. We can fool the tree to make sweet red apples for us. These twigs are from the red apple tree, and here are my pruning shears.
Pruning shears. They are sharp.
Do you want to cut this one?
I say yes with my head.
We're going to graft this twig you've cut. It's called a scion.
Scion. Scion. I say the word in my head. He takes a knife and makes one end of the twig sharp, and he cuts a branch on the tree and sticks the scion in the cut.
Now we tape it up.
He takes green tape and ties the twig to the branch.
And we put melted beeswax on the wound. Here, you take this brush. Steady now, that's right.
We make many grafts.
You know, Christian, apples are second only to oranges as the most valuable fruit grown in the U.S. of A. Here in Washington, though, there's not really enough sun for oranges.
I'm sleepy.
Tired? You want to head back to the house?
I say yes with my head.
We've done a lot of grafting. This tree will yield a huge crop of sweet red apples come autumn. You can help me pick them.
He smiles and holds out a big hand, and I take it. It's big and rough, but warm and gentle.
Let's go have some hot chocolate. Grandpa gives me a crinkled smile, and I turn my attention to Mia's date, who seems to be checking out mine. His name is Sean, and I think he's from Mia's old high school. I shake his hand, squeezing hard. Keep your eyes on your own date, Sean. And by the way, you're with my sister. Treat her well, or I will end you. I think I managed to convey all of that information in my pointed look and the tight grip I have on his hand. He nods and swallows. Mr. Gray? I pull out Anna's chair and we sit. My dad is standing on the stage. He taps the mic and rattles off a welcome and an introduction to the great and the good gathered before him. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to our annual charity ball. I hope that you enjoy what we have laid out for you tonight and that you'll dig deep into your pockets to support the fantastic work that our team does with Coping Together. As you know, it's a cause that is very close to my wife's heart and mine. The plumes on Anna's mask quiver as she turns to look at me, and I wonder if she's thinking about my past. Should I answer her unspoken question? Yes, this charity exists because of me. My parents formed it because of my miserable start in life, and now they help hundreds of addicted parents and their kids by offering them refuge and rehabilitation. But she says nothing, and I remain impassive, as I'm not sure how I should feel about her curiosity. I'll hand you over now to our master of ceremonies. Please be seated and enjoy. Dad says, and he hands the microphone to the MC, then wanders over to our table, making a beeline for Anna. He greets her with a kiss on each cheek. She blushes. "Good to see you again, Anna," he says. "Ladies and gentlemen, please nominate a table head," the MC calls out.
"Ooh, me, me,"
cries Mia, bouncing like a child in her seat. "In the center of the table, you will find an envelope," the MC continues. "Would everyone find, beg, borrow, or steal a bill of the highest denomination you can manage, write your name on it, and place it inside the envelope? Tableheads, please guard these envelopes carefully. We will need them later. Here." I give a $100 bill to Anna.
"I'll pay you back,"
she whispers. "Sweetheart." I don't want that argument again. Saying nothing because a scene would be unseemly, I hand her my Mont Blanc so she can sign her name on the note. Grace signals a couple of servers standing at the front of the pavilion, and they pull back the canvas, revealing a picture postcard view of Seattle and Maidenbower Bay at dusk. It's a great view, especially at this time of the evening, and I'm glad the weather has remained fine for my parents. Anna gazes at the cityscape and its reflection in the water with delight. And I examine it anew. It's stunning. The darkening sky ablaze with the setting sun mirrored in the water, the lights of Seattle twinkling in the distance. Yeah, stunning. Seeing all this through Anna's eyes is humbling. For years, I've taken it for granted. I glance at my parents. My father clasps his wife's hand as she laughs at something her friend says. The way he looks at her, the way she looks at him. They love each other, still. I shake my head. Is it weird that I'm having a strange and new appreciation for my upbringing? I was lucky, very lucky. Our servers arrive, 10 of them in total, and as one they present the table with our first course. Anna peeks at me from behind her mask. "Hungry?"
"Very,"
she replies, with serious intent. Damn. All other thoughts evaporate as my body responds to her bold statement, and I know she's not referring to the food. My grandfather diverts her, and I shift in my seat, trying to bring my body to heal. The food is good, but then it always is at my parents' place. I have never been hungry here. I'm startled by the direction of my thoughts, and I'm glad when Lance, my mother's friend from college, engages me in a conversation about what GEH is developing. I'm acutely aware of Anna's eyes on me as Lance and I debate the economics of technology in the developing world.
"You can't just give this technology away,"
Lance scoffs. "Why not? Ultimately, whose benefit is it for? As human beings, we all have to share finite space and resources on this planet. The smarter we are, the more efficiently we'll use them.
Democratizing tech is not what I'd expect from someone like you."
Lance laughs. "Dude, you don't know me very well." Lance is engaging enough, but I'm distracted by the beautiful Miss Steele. She moves beside me as she listens to our conversation, and I know the Kegel balls are having the desired effect. Perhaps we should go to the boathouse. My conversation with Lance is interrupted a few times by various business associates offering a handshake and the odd anecdote. I don't know if they're checking out Anna or trying to ingratiate themselves with me. By the time dessert is served, I'm ready to leave.
"If you'll excuse me,"
Anna says suddenly, breathless, and I know she's had enough. "Do you need the powder room?" I ask. She nods, and in her eyes I see a desperate plea. "I'll show you," I offer. She stands and I start to get up, but Mia stands too.
"No, Christian, you're not taking Anna. I will."
And before I can say anything, she grabs Anna's hand. Anna gives me an apologetic shrug and follows Mia out of the pavilion. Taylor signals that he's on it and trails behind them both. I'm sure Anna is unaware of her shadow. Fuck, I wanted to go with her. My grandmother leans in to talk to me.
"She's delightful."
"I know."
"You look happy, dear."
"Do I? I thought I was sulking at a missed opportunity."
"I don't think I've ever seen you so relaxed."
She pats my hand. It's an affectionate gesture, and for once, I don't withdraw from her touch. "Happy?"
Me? I test the word to see if it fits, and an unexpected warmth flares in my gut. Yes, she makes me happy. It's a new feeling. I've never described myself in those terms. I smile at my grandmother and squeeze her hand. I think you're right, grandmother. Her eyes twinkle and she squeezes mine back.
You should bring her to the farm.
I should. I think she'd like that. Mia and Anna return to the pavilion, giggling. It's a pleasure to watch them together and to witness my whole family embrace my girl. Even my grandmother has concluded that Anna makes me happy. She's not wrong. As Anna takes her seat, she gives me a swift, carnal look. Ah, I mask my smile. I want to ask if she's still wearing the Kegel balls, but I presume she's removed them. She's done well to wear them this long. Taking Anna's hand in mine, I give her a list of auction prizes. I think Anna will enjoy this part of the evening. Seattle's elite flashing their cash.
You own property in Aspen?
She asks, and everyone at the table turns to look at her. I nod and put my finger to my lips.
Do you have property elsewhere?
She whispers. I nod, but I don't want to disturb everyone at the table with conversation. This is the part of the evening when we raise a sizable sum for the charity. As everyone applauds a sale price of $12,000 for a signed Mariners baseball bat, I lean over and say, I'll tell you later. She licks her lips and my earlier frustration returns.
I wanted to come with you.
She shoots me a quick, aggrieved look, which I think means that she's of the same mind, but she settles down to listen to the bidding. I watch her get caught up in the excitement of the auction, turning her head to see who's bidding on what and applauding at the conclusion of each lot. And up next is a weekend stay in Aspen, Colorado. What are my starting bids, ladies and gentlemen, for this generous prize courtesy of Mr. Christian Gray? There's a smattering of applause and the master of ceremonies continues. Do I hear $5,000? The bidding begins. I contemplate taking Anna to Aspen. I don't even know if she skis. The thought of her on skis is unsettling. She's not a coordinated dancer, so she might be a disaster on the slopes. I wouldn't want her to get hurt. $20,000, we are bid. Going once, going twice, the MC calls. Anna puts her hand up and calls.
$24,000.
And it's like she's kicked me in the solar plexus. What the fuck? $24,000 to the lovely lady in silver. Going once, going twice. Sold. The master of ceremonies declares, to rapturous applause. Everyone at our table gapes at her while my anger spirals out of control. That money was for her. Taking a deep breath, I lean forward and kiss her cheek. I don't know whether to worship at your feet or spank the living shit out of you, I hiss in her ear.
I'll take option two, please,
she says quickly, breathlessly.
What?
For a moment, I'm confused, and then I realize the Kegel balls have done their work. She's needy, really needy, and my anger is forgotten.
Suffering, are you?
I whisper. We'll have to see what we can do about that. I run my fingers along her jaw.
Make her wait, Gray. That should be punishment enough.
Or perhaps we could prolong the agony. A wicked thought comes to mind. She wriggles beside me as my family congratulates her on her win. I drape my arm over her chair and begin to stroke her naked back with my thumb. With my other hand, I take hers and kiss her palm, then rest her hand on my thigh. Slowly, I ease her hand up my thigh until her fingers are resting on my erection. I hear her gasp, and from beneath her mask, her shocked eyes meet mine. I will never tire of shocking sweet Anna. As the auction continues, my family returns their attention to the next prize. Anna, emboldened, no doubt, by her need, surprises me and starts to caress me through my pants.
Hell.
I keep my hand over hers so no one will be the wiser as she fondles me and I continue to stroke her neck. My pants are becoming uncomfortable. She's turned the tables on you, Gray. Again. Sold for $110,000, the MC declares, bringing me back into the room. The prize is a week in my parents' place in Montana, and it's a colossal amount of money. The whole room erupts with cheers and applause, and Anna takes her hands off me and joins in the clapping. Damn. Reluctantly, I applaud too, and now that the auction is over, I plan to give Anna a tour of the house. Ready? I mouth to her.
Yes,
she says, her eyes shining through her mask.
Anna,
Mia says.
It's time.
Anna looks confused.
Time for what? The first dance auction, come on.
Mia stands and holds out her hand. Fucking hell, my annoying little sister. I glower at Mia, cockblocker extraordinaire. Anna looks at me and starts to giggle. It's infectious. I stand, grateful for my jacket. The first dance will be with me, okay? And it won't be on the dance floor. I murmur against the pulse beneath her ear.
I look forward to it.
She kisses me in full view of everyone. I grin and then notice that the entire table is staring at us. Yes, people. I have a girlfriend. Get used to it. They, as one, look away, embarrassed to be caught gawking.
Come on, Anna.
Mia is persistent and leads Anna toward the small stage where several women are assembled. Gentlemen, the highlight of the evening. The MC booms over the PA system and the excited hum of the crowd. The moment you've all been waiting for, these 12 lovely ladies have all agreed to auction their first dance to the highest bidder. Anna is uncomfortable. She looks down at the ground, then at her knotted fingers. She looks anywhere but at the group of young men approaching the stage. Now, gentlemen, pray gather around and take a good look at what could be yours for the first dance. 12 comely and compliant wenches. When did Mia get Anna involved in this fucking charade? It's a meat market. I know it's for a good cause, but still. The MC announces the first young woman, giving her a hyperbolic introduction. Her name is Jada, and her first dance is quickly sold off for $5,000. Mia and Anna are talking. Anna looks engaged in what Mia is saying. Shit. What is Mia telling her? Mariah is up for sale next. She seems embarrassed by the MC's introduction, and I don't blame her. Mia and Anna continue to talk, and I know it's about me. For fuck's sake, Mia, shut up. Mariah's first dance is sold for $4,000. Anna glances at me, then back at Mia, who appears to be in full flow. Jill is up next, and her first dance is sold for $4,000. Anna stares at me and I see her eyes glitter inside her mask, but I have no idea what she's thinking. Shit. What did Mia say? And now allow me to introduce the beautiful Anna. Mia ushers Anna to the center of the stage and I make my way to the front of the crowd. Anna does not like to be the center of attention. Damn Mia for making her do this. But Anastasia is beautiful. The MC makes another overblown and ridiculous introduction. Beautiful Anna plays 6 musical instruments, speaks fluent Mandarin, and is keen on yoga. Well, gentlemen, enough. $10,000, I shout. 15. There's a call from some random guy. What the hell? I turn to look at who is bidding on my girl, and it's Flynn, the expensive charlatan, as Anna calls him. I'd recognize his gait anywhere. He gives me a polite nod. Well, gentlemen, we have high rollers in the house this evening, the MC announces to the assembled patrons. What is Flynn's game? How far does he want to take this? The chatter in the pavilion dies as the crowd watches us and waits to hear my reaction. 20, I offer, my voice low. 25, counters Flynn. Anna looks anxiously from me to Flynn. She's mortified, and frankly, so am I. I've had enough of whatever game Flynn is playing. $100,000, I call, so that the entire audience can hear me. What the fuck? one of the women behind Anna calls out, and I hear gasps from people in the crowd around me. Come on, John. I give Flynn a level stare and he laughs and graciously holds up both his hands. He's done. $100,000 for the lovely Anna. Going once, going twice. The MC invites Flynn to bid again, but he shakes his head and bows. Sold! The MC cries out triumphantly, and the applause and cheering are deafening. I step forward and hold out my hand to Anna. I've won, my girl. She beams at me with relief when she places her hand in mine. I help her down from the stage and kiss the back of her hand, then tuck it under my arm. We make our way to the exit of the pavilion, ignoring the catcalls and the shouts of congratulations.
Who is that?
She asks. Someone you can meet later. Right now, I want to show you something. We have about 20 minutes until the first dance auction finishes. Then we have to be back on the dance floor so that I can enjoy that dance I've paid for.
A very expensive dance,
she observes dryly. I'm sure it'll be worth every single cent. At last, I have her. Mia is still on the stage and unable to stop me now. I guide Anna across the lawn toward the dance floor, aware that two of the close protection guys are tailing us. The sounds of revelry fade behind us as I take her through the French doors that lead into the sitting room. I leave the doors open so the guys can follow us. From there, we head into the hall and up two flights of stairs to my childhood bedroom. It will be another first. Inside, I lock the door. Security can wait outside. This was my room. Anna stands in the center, drinking it all in. My posters, my bulletin board, everything. Her eyes scan it all, then settle on me. I've never brought a girl in here.
Never?
I shake my head. There's an adolescent thrill running through me. A girl in my room. What would my mom say? Anna's lips part in invitation. Her eyes are dark beneath her mask, and they don't leave mine. I saunter over to her. We don't have long, Anastasia, and the way I'm feeling right this moment, we won't need long. Turn around. Let me get you out of that dress. She spins around immediately. Keep the mask on. I whisper in her ear. She groans, and I haven't even touched her. I know that she'll be craving relief after wearing the Kegel balls for so long. I unzip her dress and help her out of it. I step back, drape it over a chair, and remove my jacket. She's wearing the corset, and thigh highs, and heels, and the mask. She's driven me to distraction during dinner. You know, Anastasia, I move toward her, undoing my bow tie and then the shirt buttons at the collar. I was so mad when you bought my auction lot. All manner of ideas ran through my head. I had to remind myself that punishment is off the menu. But then you volunteered. Standing close, I stare down at her. Why did you do that? I need to know.
Volunteer?
Her voice is husky, revealing her desire.
I don't know, frustration, too much alcohol, worthy cause.
She shrugs and her eyes move to my mouth. I vowed to myself I would not spank you again, even if you begged me.
Please.
But then I realized you're probably very uncomfortable at the moment and it's not something you're used to.
Yes,
she answers. Breathy and sexy and pleased, I think, that I know how she feels. So there might be a certain latitude. If I do this, you must promise me one thing.
Anything.
You will safe word if you need to, and I will just make love to you. Okay. She agrees readily. I lead her to the bed, throw the comforter aside, and sit down as she stands before me in her mask and corset. She looks sensational. I grab a pillow and place it beside me. Taking her hand, I tug so that she falls across my lap, her chest on the pillow. I sweep her hair off her face and the mask. There. She looks glorious. Now to spice this up. Put your hands behind your back. She scrambles to do my bidding and squirms on top of me. Eager. I like that. I tie her wrist with my tie. She's helpless. In my power. It's exhilarating.
You really want this, Anastasia?
Yes,
she stresses, clarifying her need. But I still don't get it. I thought all this was off the table.
Why?
I ask as I caress her behind.
Do I need a reason?
No, baby, you don't. I'm just trying to understand you. Be in the moment, Gray. She wants this, and so do you. I stroke her ass once more, preparing myself, preparing her. Leaning over, I hold her down with my left hand, and I smack her once with the other, just at the junction of her fine, fine ass and her thighs. She moans an incoherent word. It's not a safe word. I smack her again. 2. We'll go with 12. I start counting. I smooth her behind and spank her twice, once on each cheek, and I pull off her lacy panties, trailing them down her thighs, her knees, her calves, and over her Louboutins, where I discard them on the floor. It's arousing in every way. Noting she's no longer wearing the Kegel balls, I spank her again, numbering each blow. She groans and writhes across my knees, her eyes shut beneath her mask. Her ass is a lovely shade of pink. 12, I whisper when I'm done. I caress her glowing ass and sink 2 fingers into her. She's wet. So fucking wet. So ready. She moans as I rotate my fingers inside her, and she comes loudly, frantically around them. Wow, that's quick. She's such a sensual creature. That's right, baby, I murmur, and I untie her wrists. She's panting, trying to catch her breath. I've not finished with you yet, Anastasia. I'm now uncomfortable. I want her. Badly. Lowering her so that her knees touch the floor, I kneel behind her. I undo my zipper and yank down my underwear, freeing my eager erection. From my pants pocket, I extract a condom and pull my fingers out of my girl. She whimpers. I wrap my cock in latex. Open your legs. She complies and I ease into her. This is going to be quick, baby, I whisper. I hold her hips and slowly pull out of her, then I slam into her. She cries out, with joy, with abandon, with ecstasy. This is what she wants, and I'm only too happy to oblige. I thrust and thrust, and then she's meeting me, thrusting back. Shit. This is going to be even quicker than I thought. Anna, no, I warn. I want to prolong her pleasure. But she's a greedy girl, and she takes all she can, a voracious counterpoint to me. Anna, shit! It's a strangled cry as I come, and it sets her off. She screams as her orgasm rips through her, pulling on me as I sink onto her. Man, that was good. I'm spent. After all the teasing and the anticipation during that meal, this was inevitable. I kiss her shoulder and pull out of her and remove the condom, tossing it into the wastebasket by the bed. That will give my mother's housekeeper something to think about. Anna's still in her mask, panting, smiling. She looks satiated. I kneel over her, resting my forehead on her back as we both find our equilibrium. Mmm. I murmur in satisfaction and plant a kiss on her flawless back. I believe you owe me a dance, Miss Steele. She hums a contented response from somewhere deep in her throat. I sit back and pull her onto my lap. We don't have long. Come on. I kiss her hair. She moves off my lap and sits on the bed, beginning to dress as I do up my shirt and redo my bow tie. Anna gets up and walks over to where I've placed her dress. Wearing only her mask, corset, and shoes, she embodies sensuality. I knew she was a goddess, but this... she's beyond all my expectations. I love her. I turn away, feeling suddenly vulnerable, and straighten the comforter on my bed. The uneasy feeling ebbs like a receding tide as I finish and see Anna examining the photographs on my bulletin board. There are many, from all over the world. My parents were fond of a foreign vacation.
Who's this?
Anna asks, pointing.